So on Friday, I played a game it's my first time I've heard of it before. It was so much fun. Someone challenged me to weave it into my message. Okay, so we're going to play this game. It's called Speak Out. Who's heard of the word Speak Out? The game Speak Out? You heard of it? Okay, just give me a second. So the hint of the game
is for you to speak and for you to figure out what I'm saying. Is that okay? So I'm going to read a scripture and you guys guess what I'm saying. Is that okay? Okay, let's have these guys go first. So you guys don't say anything, it'll test it, you run this. Okay, here you go. So you guess the scripture I'm reading, okay? And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, you guys got it? You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth. What's that? Did you say free? So that's the scripture. Can you hear it, please, Anthony? Thank you very much. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
But here's the thing, right? So some of you would have kind of heard what I said and kind of figured it out. Okay, but maybe all of you didn't hear my articulate voice and my pronunciation. But here's the fact. No matter how bad or how good my articulation was, it doesn't take away from the truth. Because the truth is the truth, no matter what. That's what defines truth. So whatever I preach today, no matter how eloquent you think I am, no matter how articulate you think I am, it's got nothing to do with the fact that the truth remains true. Do you understand? So I want to challenge you this morning. As I preach, look past me. Look past me and look at the truth. Jesus said that you will know the truth and it will set you free. So it may just be that past my attempts to sound intelligent, past my attempts to try and preach a good message, it may just be that what sits beneath the truth, what sits beneath all of that stuff, the truth, it may just set you free this morning. The title of my message is, Our Time Has Come. Our time has come. And I believe that it's a prophetic word, not just for this church, but it's a prophetic word for you. Because, you know, the church is not this. This is not the church. This is the church. You are the church. So you must get excited if you see movement. If you see movement, you must get excited because that means God is working in your life. Because you can't, if he says, I will build my church, that means he's building you. So if something is happening and things are happening, September 2019, old, out with the two and in with the new. There's so many hashtags. I can't keep up. I'm not going to lie. I can't keep up. But we're moving from two services to one service. Things are happening. Things are changing. Things are moving. But here's the challenge to us. If things are not happening in your life, you've got to ask yourself a question. Why? And what am I doing or not doing? Because I want to be part of what God is doing in the life of this church, in the life of the people around me, the living stones that Jesus talks about. Our time is now, church. I want to read to you. I had a couple of points just very quickly. I want to make a special plug for Growth Trackman. It's my opportunity to just encourage you. Don't raise your hand, but let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied with where you are? Because guess what? God is a next for you. No matter how good you think things are currently, or if things are not going so lekker, if things aren't going so swell, God has a next. What is your next? What is your next? And if you don't know how to answer the question, come to Grow Track. 4 weeks, it will change your life, hands down. Easy. For those people who've been to Grow Track, give me a wave if you agree with what I'm saying. It will change your life. Get plugged in. Get plugged in. That's the first plug. The second plug is, and I'm going to use this as a segue into my message, but if you haven't joined a small group, man, you are missing out, man. We've been, and I know that there are many small groups that happen all over the city throughout the week, and I've had the privilege of being part of a small group called Unleashing the Giant, and I want to speak this morning from one of the scriptures that we've been meditating on. Let me tell you, you need to get plugged in. If you're wondering, why is my life not moving on? Look at whether you're plugged in or not. It's simple. It's really, really simple. You know, if you for those of you who enjoy Brian, you know, if you wanna notice why a single coal is extinguished laying on the side, well, it's because it's laying on the side. You gotta get with where all the other coals are, because then you will remain heated, you will remain part of things, and you will find your next. Is that cool? So sign up for Grow Track. Sign up for small groups, get involved, because I'm telling you, you will not regret those decisions. Okay, cool. That's me. I'm going to turn your attentions to Judges chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 14, and you can follow with me. And it says, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over. Everyone say, the Lord. That's very important for you to understand. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for them in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying the crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you the land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Then, this is the last time I'm going to say it. Everyone say, then. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? Then the Lord said, turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. God will bless the reading of his word. It's not biblical for the night to last forever. Think about that. It's not biblical for you to struggle all the time. It's not biblical. Sometimes we think that this is our plight in life. Read with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Thanks, Matthew. We'll put it up from verse 1 to verse 8. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. We'll leave it there. It is not biblical for you to keep struggling. It's biblical for your night to end and morning to come. That is a word for someone this morning. You've become too comfortable in accepting where you are. Too comfortable. But here's the thing. Before your circumstances can change, something needs to change on the inside. And it begins with you understanding what the truth is. And the truth is, it's not biblical for your night to last. That's where things have got to start. Too often we want God and we say, God, please change my circumstances. God, please change that person. God, please change my... No. Hold on. Just calm right down. It starts with me. It starts with what I believe. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. God works from the inside out. And you see what happens is when things happen on the inside, when you begin to change, circumstances around you, situations around you, they have to cooperate with the changes that God is doing inside of you. That is why this word from verse 11 in Gideon's chapter 6, the word then, just put it up for me please, verse 11 please, Maddie, thanks. Then the angel of the Lord. You see what happened was the Israelites were under siege. They were under siege by this marauding herd. The Bible says that these guys had come in and there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of the enemy. And the Israelites were hiding in the caves, but there was a then. Everyone has a then. Because the then is like a pivotal moment, right? Something is happening. Da, 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 da. Then. Then's a really cool word. Then. Read with me in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, from verse 2. And God is speaking to Joshua. Moses has just died. You'd think that he'd know that Moses just died. You'd think that he'd know that something has to change. But God still felt it necessary to speak to Joshua. And he says, in verse 2, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come. Your time has come. Enough. Draw a line. The time has come. Now, listen, I'm really excited about preaching this message. I genuinely am. But I need you to cooperate with me. Okay. So I can't believe for you. I can't believe for you. You've got to believe for yourself. Okay. So to help you, okay, obviously every preacher's got like points, right? I'm gonna try and preach a pointless message, but at some point throughout the message, I'm gonna say, this is your confession. This is your confession over your situation. So your confession for this part of the message is, my time is now. Come on, say it. My time is now. No, you need to say it with a little bit more conviction. So let's start again. 1, 2, 3. My time is now. You see, because your then is here. Your then has come. Don't get comfortable. Something has ended. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. But your time has come. Then the angel of the Lord came. It's not dispelling what's gone before. It's acknowledging what's gone before, but it's also acknowledging that, you know, everything has a season. The night cannot last for a long time. It has to end because your time is now. Galatians chapter 4. Listen to this, man. You see, I find it a really interesting prospect that the God who operates outside of time. But even he, and I'm going to show you, even he subjected himself to time because he understood that our mortal minds would need a construct. They would need a context in order to understand the way God works. You guys don't believe what I'm saying. Listen to this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Read it with me. But when the right time came, God sent his son. You see, even the most important historical significant happening on the face of this planet, it had a time. Because God knew that in order for us to understand how he operates, not yet, now, when the right time came, which meant that there was a wrong time for Jesus to come. Yeah. I'm going to say it again. There was a wrong time for Jesus to come. Because why would God say, when the right time came? You need to understand and you need to believe, you need to confess it over yourself. My time is now. Thank you, God, for carrying me. Thank you for sparing me. I acknowledge but my time is now. Goes on to say in Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, Then, just put up verse 11, please, again, Mary. We're going to just work our way through the verses. Then the angel of the Lord came. Significant. He came. Gideon didn't go. The angel of the Lord came. He came to where Gideon was. You should be encouraged by that. God, you came to Gideon's situation. You came into his reality. You subjected yourself to his concern. Remember, what happens is we find Gideon as all the Israelites hiding, okay? But he wasn't hiding in a cave. He wasn't hiding in a stronghold. He wasn't hiding in a mountain. He was hiding in a wine press, doing what he could. But the fact of the matter is that the angel of the Lord came. He invaded Gideon's situation. You see, I think that there is merit in just getting on with it. I think God honors that. A lot of us say, no, you know what, I'm believing God, you know, purpose, I'm going to find my purpose. And until then, I'm not going to get involved. You know, I'm not going to get involved in serving. Don't ask me to go to Growth Track. Don't ask me because I'm waiting for my purpose. You don't understand, brother. You know, I've got a destiny. God called me. And then we wait to find our purpose. No. What happens? The way it works. The way it works, and it's biblical, and I will show you, the way it works is purpose comes to find you when you are busy. So Gideon was, you know what, I'm so scared. I'm so scared, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what I can. I know that if those attackers find me threshing wheat in a wine press, overs. But you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it afraid. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do it afraid. And in that situation, the angel of the Lord came. Just read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. Thanks, Matthew. The story here is Samuel, the prophet Samuel, has been instructed by God, listen, go and find the next king. Okay? And then what happens is Samuel comes to, I think it's, Jesse, yeah. Jesse, the father, okay? And he's got a couple of sons, I think 7 or 8 sons. And then God says to Samuel, listen, tell Jesse to parade his sons, and I will show you who's the king. Son number one. And Samuel says, surely this one. And God says, nope. Next one, surely this one. Nope. And at the end, Samuel's like, okay, I'm confused because these are all your sons, and I don't see the king. And then he asks, then Samuel asks, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, which I find really interesting. Almost like he forgot. There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats. He's getting on with it. Look what happens. Send for him at once. So just imagine, David is over there, just chilling, writing music, you know, shooting the breeze, and purpose comes to find him. He was doing what he could. He was getting on with it. He showed up every single day. You know, this is not me. I know there's something bigger, but you know what? I'm going to turn up. I don't understand, but I'm going to turn up. And I'm going to turn up. God, you are faithful. God, you're faithful. And as he's talking, excuse me, sir, are you David? God, you talking to me? Yes, are you David? Yeah. Are you Jesse's son? Yes, I am. What can I do for you? No, you need to come immediately. Okay. And imagine the scene. David's like, everyone's looking at David. And just understand what happens now is the way it worked was the prophet of God would literally take oil and pour. And David's like, okay, this is weird. And in the midst of normality, in the midst of him just getting on, rolling up his sleeves, and turning up every single day, purpose finds David. You still don't believe me, I can see. Let's turn to Matthew 4, 18 and 19. Jesus You know what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 or 15? Everything God started in him and finds its purpose in him. So if you want to understand who purpose is, Jesus. What does Jesus do? One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. What were they doing? They were throwing a net into the water for they fish for a living. They were just getting on with it. But meanwhile, they don't understand what's about to happen right now. They're getting on with the normal parts of life, and in steps purpose, and their life gets changed for all eternity. Show up, church. Show up. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. Waking up early mornings. I'm so proud of Renz. The young man's been working really hard this last few months. For those of you who don't know, Renz is acting at the Few God Theater, Nogal, okay, in the much acclaimed a Shakespeare-based play called Shakespeare in Love, with some of the most seasoned actors in this country. Come on, man, give it up for Renz. You're making it happen, bruh. But here's the thing. It may sound really cool to you. It's hard work. I see this guy leaving early in the morning, coming late at night, and he doesn't even speak. Because when he gets tired, he doesn't speak. It's literally just, you just hear him. Okay, there's the microwave going open. Okay, there's he putting the food in the microwave, and he's going back to his room. But you know what? Just turn up. Just turn up. Because in that normality, purpose will find you. So your next confession, God came and sought me out. Say it together. God came and sought me out. 1, 2, 3. God came and sought me out. That is why you're feeling uncomfortable. That's why. Because something doesn't feel right. What it is God shaking. God's shaking. God's saying, no, you're getting too comfortable. Come, come, come. Your time is now. Come. It's time to do something different. It's time to do something different. Zechariah chapter 4. Confession, I had to check just before I came up. Where's Zechariah? It's the second last book in the Bible. You see, I was thinking, why do some of us, we understand purpose and we understand that there's something big inside, and why do we then, in that context, why do we fold our arms and sit back? I tell you why. It's because you acknowledgement that there's something big, something significant is growing, right? But then when you look at the stuff around you, all you see is small. All you see is small. And then you compare what you feel, the holy discomfort, God ordained, God is setting you up. You compare that to this, and you think, no, man. No, it doesn't match. It doesn't make sense. And then what you do is you reject. You reject. I want to read the entire, and you can read, you can go and read the beginning of this chapter, but listen to this. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, do not despise these small beginnings. In other words, don't judge them, man. Because you're looking at it with your eyes. But God is looking at these small beginnings and he sees the future. He sees a bigger future. So don't despise these small beginnings. For the Lord, listen to this, the Lord rejoices to see the work, what? Begin. Pick up a tool. Get involved. Don't judge it for what it is. Because you're not seeing it with your eyes. Judge it for what it is through God's eyes. Get involved. Pick up a spade. Get involved. Even if you've, can you imagine the first time Noah started building? It's like, yo, man. I mean, Pastor John spoke about a few weeks ago. I mean, like hectic. And he had to build this massive thing, but he had to start somewhere. He had to start cutting his first tree. He had to start nailing his first nail. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, because the Lord rejoices when he sees your faith. When you're getting involved, it's like, man, I need to get involved with this guy, because this guy understands what potential is all about. He understands that there's a bigger future. It's no time to be idle, church. It's no time to be idle. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tear opener which belonged to Josh. Josh, can you believe it? Which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. For those of you who like that sort of thing, that almost appears like an oxymoron. He's in a wine press hiding, and he gets called mighty man of valor. But the issue is this. When God comes to speak to him, and I use the word God, God speaks to the potential. God sees beyond the present and speaks in the presence to the potential. And he sees that there's a bigger future. There's a more significant future. There's a future that completely outstrips what we currently see in the situation. But understand that we like that part because it's like, oh, I'm being called a mighty man of valor. Ooh, that's nice. Lekker. Mighty man. And another translation says, mighty man of valor. So the word valor is like a very traditional English word. I have to actually look at my notes to see what the definition is. It says valor is courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. So in other words, you can't be a mighty man of valor. You can't be a mighty hero if there's no danger. So when God speaks to the potential in you and you, for example, get a word that says, be strong and courageous, understand that there's going to be plenty of opportunity for you to be scared and cowardice. Because the potential is not just going to be released. There's something that needs, if there's a bigger future, that means you're going to have to do something that you haven't done before. Let me drive that point home. If you're believing for stuff that you haven't seen yet, then that means you're going to have to do stuff that you've never done. Otherwise, you're going to remain the same. So a lot of us, we get excited about mighty man of valor. I think we should be like, okay, game on. Game on. Because God, you're calling me. In Joshua chapter 1, let's go back there. I think in the first 9 verses, God tells Joshua 4 or 5 times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. My own interpretation, be strong and courageous because there's going to be plenty of times for you to be weak, for you to be scared. Be strong and courageous. But your time is now. So understand that your time being now and you transitioning into the new means that there's going to be some stuff that you have to do that you haven't done before. So expect tough. Expect unfamiliar. Expect uncomfortable. Now, for some of you, it may simply mean that September 2019 means that you're going to have to be a little bit more comfortable with sitting next to someone who smells like alcohol. Sometimes it may mean that September 2019 is going to mean that you're going to be sitting next to someone and you can see, with all respect to her, that she's just come from a hard night's work. If we're going to accomplish, church, what we believe God has for us, that means we're going to have to do some stuff that we've never done before. And let's take it to your own situation. If you're believing for something significant at work, maybe you've got to do something you've never done before. Maybe you're one of those guys, and I know, no disrespect to anyone, your working hours is 4:30, and by 4:15, PC shut down, book is closed, and you're waiting. God, and at home, Lord Jesus, I pray for a promotion, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you turn the eyes of the unrighteous I don't know if there's a scripture like that. Turn the eyes of the unrighteous, Lord, onto the eyes of the righteous Father. And I pray that your favor is upon me, Lord God. I pray, give me wisdom. Lord, I want to do significant things for you. 25 plus 4. And you come to the gate, if you're swiping out. 29, 51 seconds, 52 seconds, 53. And you're out to the gate. But you're believing. God help me. I want to build your kingdom, Lord. I want to be a financier of the kingdom. Stop it. Stop it. If you want to achieve something new, if you want to do something significant, do something you've never done before. Turn up early, leave late. Do you think that Joseph was a clock watcher? No, man. Besides the fact that the favor of the Lord was upon him in Egypt, I'm sure that guy worked. I almost wanted to say something really bad now. He worked really hard. He worked really hard. Show yourself worthy, man. Now, I've still got 15 sick leave days for the year. Come on. Don't get me started. How much leave have you taken this year? I've got my full complement of leave because I'm just using my sick days. If you don't get what I'm saying, you need to come and chat to me afterwards. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Verse 12. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Gideon replies, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? The Old Testament has 8 times when God appears in physical form. I don't know if you know that. 8 times. And God appeared in many forms during those 8 times. So, for example, God appeared as a burning bush to Moses. You know that. Many times, the Bible in the Old Testament refers to God appearing as the angel of the Lord. But if you look very carefully and you study the original text, it's not an angel. It's God. And scholars believe it's Jesus. You guys are like, hey, this guy's preaching heresy this morning. Genesis chapter 18. I'll just take you to one of those examples. From verse 9. Very quickly, the story is Abram and Sarah are chilling. And 3 men come to visit them. And the 3 visitors are chatting to Abram. And she is over listening. She's overhearing the conversation. And one of the guys asks Abram as follows. Verse 9. Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitors asked. She's inside the tent, Abram replied. Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year. And your wife Sarah will have a son. Verse 13. Then the Lord. Now, if you look at your Bibles, maybe you should do that. Lord isn't in small letters. It's in capital. And the reason it's in capital is because it's a translation of the word Yahweh. God. God incarnate. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus appears in the Old Testament. Why am I showing you this? The same translation word that's used for that Lord is used in this account of Gideon. So here Jesus is talking to Gideon and he doesn't even understand who he's talking to. He says, if the Lord is with us. You see, in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of you understand, yeah, the time is now. You know, God sort me out, blah, blah, blah. But you don't even know that God is with you right there. And then you're saying, if God is with you. What do you mean, if, man? And I'm speaking to my own heart now. This past week I had a really tough week, and it seems to be just be kind of, you know, the weeks seem to be weaving themselves together. Tough weeks are becoming tough months. And often the circumstances get so in my face that I forget that God The same God is walking beside me. The same God is walking. The one who molded the mountains, who set the world in motion, that same God is right beside me as I speak. If God is with us, why have all these things happened? You see, Gideon mistakes hardship for the absence of God. Don't make that mistake. Which is why I asked you to read something earlier. Go back to verse 1, please. So again, understand the context. Gideon is saying, why is all these things happening to us? That means the Lord has abandoned us. What does it say? So the Lord handed. So all of what they were experiencing, oh God. Oh God. God's hand was in it. God was saying, right, I'm giving it over to the Midianites. Not abandoned you, I'm giving you over until I say then. So when you look at your current situation, understand this. God is not far. God is not far. God is not distant. God is there and God is with you. And it kind of gives you a bit of context to the situation, doesn't it? So it makes it a little bit more easy to understand. Oh, this is really, really tough. But guess what? God is with me in my circumstance. So that's another confession. I want you to say over your situation, come on, God is with me. Okay, maybe these guys will be a bit more emphatic about it. God is with me. Come on, say it together. God is with me. God is with me. And you know, even as we believe as a church that our time is now, and we believe that God has sought us out, we can confess of ourselves, you know what? God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Think about that. God is with me. God is with me. If you read a little bit later, in verse 14, so now they're having a conversation. And verse 14 starts by saying, then the Lord turned to him. I found that really interesting. The Lord turned to him. What? So that means the Lord was looking away. Right? Because you can't turn to someone if you're looking at him. Because you're already looking at him. So the Lord turned to him. And I found that very, very significant. And if you read, I think why did the Lord turn to him? Because it's probably you and I having a conversation, we're chatting with, and if I want to say something serious, listen. So it's almost like the Lord turned to him, and now like, you know, there's an uncomfortable, pregnant pause, because something that's going to come now is significant. And then he says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have. I want to break that up into two. The first thing I want you to understand is, go means movement. So there's something new that you need to do. Remember I said early on, if you're expecting something new, if you're expecting something different, something new has to happen. So what is your go? What is your next? How do you need to respond to the voice of God? Because I can tell you now, you're not going to see what you believe you're going to see and what God is saying over your life unless you go. Now this is going to confuse some people. Some of your go means some of you must stay. What I mean by that is, go, in the context of where Gideon was, meant they had to do something different. Maybe for some of you, you're running around all the time, and your go means you must stop. It's got to be different. Your action's got to be different. Does that make sense, church? You got to do something different. So evaluate where you are. Evaluate how you're responding to circumstances. Evaluate how yo, I'm here again, man. I'm here again. I thought I was over this challenge. No, go. Do something different. Because when you do something different in cooperation with the Spirit of God, you'll see something new. Because you've got to do something different. Does that make sense? So the word go is in reference to the fact that Gideon was in the wine press staying. And that's a very personal word. And then the second part is go with the strength you have. In other words, do it, whatever it is you believe God's calling you to do, do it without feeling like you're capable of doing it. Go with the strength you have. I don't have any strength. I'm weak. I'm hiding. Yeah, it's okay. Just go. I don't have the ability. I don't have the wisdom. It's okay. Just go. Do it. Whatever you've got, even if you've got weakness, it's okay. It's enough. Whatever strength you've got, it's enough. Go. Do something different. Sign up for that course. I don't have the ability, Lord. Go. Just go. Just turn up. Turn up. Go and do it afraid. Lord, I can't. It's okay. Just go. I'm sending you. I'm going to ask you a question. And you know what? These kind of moments are really... I guess this message, this word, call it what you want, speaks to you, doesn't speak to you, whatever, it doesn't really matter to me. What's important is that you understand the truth for your life. Your time is now. God has come to seek you out. It's no time to be idle. God is with you. And you have to do it afraid. I don't know where you find yourself in your circumstance, in your personal situation, but I want to invite you. If you like me, I find myself in very much the throes of my time is now, and man, am I scared. And I don't even have strength. All I can bring to the table is weakness. Really. For the first time, probably in my entire professional career, I actually feel like I can't do my job. But God says it's enough. Because He says I must go with the strength I've got. So it is what it is. God, I need an encouragement from you. I need a word from you. I need to know that you are in this. I need to know that you are for me, that you are not against me. And if you're standing, won't you just stretch your hands towards heaven as we commit ourselves in this continuing journey to God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are for us and you're not against us. Thank you that our time is now. So God, as we continue to connect with you, I pray that you speak to us articulately and clearly, that you would open our ears, that we would hear very, very clearly as you speak to us. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to move anywhere. We don't want to go anywhere unless it is you speaking to us and you giving us direction. So God, I pray that you touch our ears, that we would hear your voice like never before. And I thank you that, Lord God, I'm speaking into a bigger future. I'm speaking to a preferred future. I'm speaking to a more significant future, a future that will make your name famous, a future that, Lord God, will set the record straight once and for all, that you are the God, you are the mighty Savior, you are the one who saves, you are the one who rescues. In Jesus' name.